Good morning. We are going to make some changes this morning. If you will take a look at the bulletin, you'll notice that there was an announcement that next Sunday we would have a presentation of this year's budget. Well, that's going to happen this morning. And not only is that going to happen this morning, but we also have someone who is wishing to be baptized this morning. So this morning's lesson is going to be severely changed. I'm rewriting it as I'm standing up here because we are not going to take it exactly the way that we had originally planned on it. But that's all right, because what we're doing in our Sunday morning lessons is that we are taking the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we are using them to accomplish a couple of things. Two things that we're trying to accomplish. Number one, we're trying to look at Jesus more closely, because as people who strive to be His disciples, we want to become more like Him. And so in order to become more like Him, we need to learn about Him. We need to follow Him as the early disciples did. And we're doing it through the reading of these gospel accounts. But more than that, we're also using the gospels as opportunity for us to learn better how to study the Word of God. And remember, we introduced this concept last week. One of the basic ideas in learning how to study the Word of God is that we need to be a people who become comfortable with asking questions. Questions like, what does this passage say? What does this passage mean? What is God telling me? How am I encouraged? How am I strengthened? Is there sin in my life I need to confess and repentance that is needed? How can I be changed so I can learn and grow? How does this apply to me? All of those types of questions need to be a part of our life as we strive to follow Jesus Christ. But the most basic question is, of course, the question, what does this passage say? Well, as we look at the four Gospels, we are presented with a unique opportunity. Because when we have four Gospels who tell us the life of Jesus, we're going to have, in those four Gospels, opportunities when the same event is told about from different perspectives. And it's going to be helpful for us to be able to take these separate accounts of the same event and put them together so that we can gain a more full, complete picture of what is there and what we need to learn. And that's one of the aspects that we're going to try our very best to learn how to do. And so the specific one we're going to do first, the specific event that we're going to tackle first, is the baptism of Jesus. The baptism of Jesus. And so you might take a piece of paper, a pencil, if you've got it. I like to start to encourage you maybe to start bringing paper and pencil with you so you can jot down a couple of things. Take the bulletin, write on it if you can. If you have nothing else, there's usually pencils and stuff in the pews if you want. Even if you don't let the person who's doing the janitor cleaning this month see them, you can even take one of those little, visitor's cards and write on them, Just don't let them know that you've taken... Well, let him know if you take all of them so we can refill them, but that's okay. But in the four Gospels, the baptism of Jesus is recorded four times. It's recorded in John chapter 1, verses 29 through 34. It's recorded in Luke chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. It's in Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, and Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. 13 through 17. Now, we're going to spend time trying to piece those together and learn how to do that type of piecing together. And we're going to specifically do that next Sunday. That's that's one of the changes we're making from this morning. And what we're going to try to do is we're going to try to ask ourselves a particular question and use that question to drive our digging into the text in an effort to learn what God is teaching us. And the question that we're going to ask is why? That's probably one of the most important questions that we can ask any time that we study God's Word. Now, any time that we study God's Word and we ask that question why, many times we may not get a complete answer, and many times we may get multiple answers. Certainly with the case of Jesus, why was Jesus baptized? We're going to find out that there are multiple possibilities. And each of those possibilities is going to mean something tremendous to us if we pause and contemplate and strive to understand what is being talked about. But it's important for us to ask these kinds of questions. And remember, there is no best way to go and digging through the text. There is no best way to study the Word of God except to ask questions. It's important that we do it. That's the main thing. It's important that we do it. The idea that I'm trying to get across more than anything else is I'm trying to borrow a phrase from John Wayne, which had a bunch of movies yesterday. You know, I'm sorry, but I'm a John Wayne fan, okay? Is I'm trying to put the burr under your saddle to get the horse moving. Or if you're going to go in the modern vernacular, I'm trying to plug your computer in so that you get and boot it up right so you can get the... I like the burr in the saddle image better. It fits better for me for some reason. But what we're trying to do is we're trying to seek what God is saying, not what we want Him to say, but what He really is saying. And we're trying to learn from what Jesus has done so that we can understand what He wants us to do. See, a lot of people get lost when they first begin to try to study the Bible for themselves. A lot of people, they dig out the old family Bible with this beautiful leather cover and very thin parchment pages. And a lot of times people, when they begin trying to actually study the Bible instead of just reading it in a casual fashion, they find it difficult to understand and they give up because of a lot of different reasons. There's actually been several studies done where people were asked, why is it that you don't study from the Bible? Here are some of the more common ones. One of the most common reasons for not studying the Bible, believe it or not, is that the type is too hard to read. The font is too small for the eyes to track. And or the translation is too difficult to follow. Well, those may be common things, but that's only if you're just picking up the whatever Bible happens to be on your shelf that you've inherited from somebody or somebody gave you some long time ago. Believe it or not, there's a lot of things out there that are useful. There are numerous resources out there. Take advantage of it, including Bibles with large, easy-to-read print. Or if you have a computer, you can always just enlarge the font to whatever size you want. And with people having pads that they can bring now, computer pads and all that, you can do that type of thing as well. But with the idea that you want to start actually studying the Bible, there are several things you and I need to do first. We need to, number one, pray. In Psalm 119, verse 18, the psalmist says, "Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law." Now, the psalmist is writing about the Old Testament, okay? But he's giving us a principle that is absolutely essential for you and I as we approach the Word of God. It's asking God, as we study the Bible, to open our eyes that we can see the wonderful things that are there. Time and time again, as we will go through the Gospels this year, as we look at what Jesus says and how Jesus teaches, lots of times He'll say, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear." And the reason He says things like that is because Jesus teaches lots of times in parables, and He wants us to understand that these parables are not easy to really grasp just quickly, but they take some wrestling with in our minds. And He's saying that's what we need to do. We need to wrestle with these things in our minds, but we also need to ask God to help us. Another essential is attitude. We need to have a good attitude based on seeking after Christ rather than seeking after self. One of the clear pictures that we find in the gospel accounts is that Jesus talks about how the person who really enters the kingdom of God is like a child. Well, a child has a sense of wonder, a sense of wanting to know. I mean, who hasn't had a kid in as they're growing up suddenly pester them with questions about this or questions about that? Why is the sky blue? Why is this? Why is this? Why is this? I think that's absolutely essential. We sometimes lose that sense of wonder and that sense of exploration that a child has. And especially when we talk about the Bible, we kind of think in our minds that this is a dry old book. There's not, and we don't look at it with eyes of wonder. But if we approach the Word of God with a sense of wonder, with a sense of exploration, with a sense of expectation, that attitude is going to help us as we look at what is here. And then, thirdly, we need to make a commitment. A commitment and stick to it that we are going to take and look at what God has said so that we can begin to become more like His Son. Now, that sets the stage for us. There's a couple of other things that we need to do as we look at the various things. And let me kind of give you a couple of things that will help you, and specifically as you do some preparation for next Sunday's lesson, when we'll take a look at those four passages that talk about the baptism of Jesus, and specifically as we're going to approach it with the question, why? Why was Jesus baptized? One of those things that you probably need to put in the back of your mind as you are reading, especially when you get to the book of John, is that every time you read the name John in John's Gospel, you are probably reading about John the Baptist. In John's Gospel, John, who is the author of the book, the Apostle John, never refers to himself with the phrase, with his name. He always refers to himself in the Gospel of John with the phrase that says, "the one whom Jesus loved." Now, one reason I want to bring that up is because as you begin reading John, it illustrates to us a little bit of a problem that we have in our English language. We need to be aware of and just do some counter thinking with as we read. Because when we hear that phrase, "the one whom Jesus loved," in our mindset, in our way of using the English language, that sounds like John is bragging. "I'm the one who Jesus loved." He's bragging. What we do not get from the original language and from the culture of the day is that phrase does not mean that John is saying, "look at me, I'm the one who Jesus loved," and he's bragging. That phrase actually should be, if we're going to translate it and put supply some punctuation marks that help us to understand what is there, we should put that phrase in quotation marks. And we should put at the end of it a question mark and then an exclamation mark. Because what it really is saying, what John is really saying as he writes that phrase, is he's saying, "I can't believe it. I am actually loved by Jesus. Jesus loves me. I can't believe it." That's really what John is meaning as he writes that phrase all through the book. He is, as he's writing his book, as he writes his gospel at the direction of the Holy Spirit, every time he talks about himself, he can't help but say, "I can't believe Jesus actually loves me. I can't believe it." And that's what that phrase means. That illustrates to us that as we go through the Gospels, especially when we read parts of it that are very personal to the person who is the author, we need to understand that there is a cultural context, and we need to do some looking and use some tools that will help us to understand all of that. All right. So, with that in mind, we're going to kind of close things down. We're going to leave you with those four passages. Let me give you those again. John chapter 1, 29 to 34. Luke chapter 3, 21 and 22. Mark 1, 9 through 11. And Matthew 3, 13 through 17. And I see people scrambling, so I need to say it again. One more time? Okay. John 1, 29 through 34. Luke 3, 21 through 22. Mark 1, 9 through 11, and Matthew 3, 13 through 17. Take a look at those four passages. Try to figure out what's going on. See it in your mind. And ask yourself the question, why was Jesus baptized? Why was he immersed by John the Baptist? Why was he baptized? All right. This morning, we want to encourage one another in our own study. But more than that, we want to encourage one another in our walk with God. That's part of why we gather together. That's part of what church is all about, if you want to put it that way. And if you're one of those who is ready to put Christ first in your life, who's ready to be baptized into Him to receive forgiveness of sin, we want to encourage you to take that step forward. While together we stand and sing.